First words. Do you have any idea what your first words were? Are there stories circulating in your family about what you said out loud? Was there, you know, something that ended up in a baby book or in a memory? My kids were, of course, brilliant growing up, and they said a lot as they were very young. Stephen was methodical, and he was probably, frankly, less interested in talking. He was curious and perceptive, and he wanted to observe things, probably a little bit like his mother. Erin, though, was a little bit different than that. She seemed quite interested in people, always eager to connect as a child, as an infant, eager to please, probably a little bit like me. She was fast to make eye contact and play games, make sounds when someone came over. I've probably shared this before, but Carla and I remember differently about, though, their first words. She remembers quite clearly Stephen's first word as no. I'm pretty sure he actually said daddy, you know. First words. First words in drama, first words in screenplays. I wonder if you've thought about that. That the first word of the main character in any screenplay usually kind of sets a frame. It's usually a way to kind of give a clue to what is still to come. Do you remember the movie Goodfellas? Ray Liotta? Can you almost guess? As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a... See, and you know, if you've watched that movie, how about this one? This you have to be old as me to remember this one. It's Patton. I think that's 1970, George C. Scott.
Right.
Remember his first line? He comes out onto the big stage with the American flag. Now I want you to I can't say this out loud because it's a bad word. Now I'll substitute. Now I want you to remember that no bugger ever won a war by dying for his country. He always won it by making the other poor dumb bugger die for his country. How about Orson Welles in Citizen Kane? Rosebud. Huh? Do you remember? You're not old enough to have seen these movies. Field of Dreams. Kevin Costner. He said, I'm 36 years old, I love my family, I love baseball, and I'm about to become a farmer. But until I heard the voice, I'd never done a crazy thing in my whole life. You'll know this one even before I do it. In Oliver, did you watch that one, the musical? What is Oliver? What's the main character say? What's the first line? Please, sir. Yeah. Tom Hanks played Forrest Gump. Hello, my name is Forrest. Forrest Gump. You want any chocolate? Well, first lines. First lines of main characters are important to how the drama, the narrative, the screenplay unfolds. They orient the audience. It's like a clue. The author's trying to set us up, right? They're trying to help us see something, anticipate something. It's like a tease or an invitation. Come here, right? John's screenplay, or should I say gospel, is unlike any of the others. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they have their own beginnings, and each of them are distinct. They set the story of Jesus in places that help them tell the story their way. But John, what's the main character's first line in John's screenplay? Jesus sees Andrew and another of John the Baptist's followers. They're down by the river. They're watching and they're following, and maybe it sounds almost a little bit creepy. But then Jesus notices these two following him, and so he turns and he looks them in the eye. And it's almost like Jesus reads them. They stop in their tracks. And then what's Jesus say? What's the first line of the main character in John's screenplay? What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Well, I wonder if they stood there and their eyes kind of bugged out and they weren't sure how to respond. Eventually, they end up asking about where he's staying, and then Jesus says a line that just hangs in the air. Jesus says, come and see. Just three little words. Say it with me. Come and see. I don't know if they stood there for a little while trying to figure out what to do, if they were intrigued or if they were scared. I don't know if they were fascinated. Maybe it was for them, as they were standing there, kind of a hard choice, a tough decision, because after all, it meant a risk. It meant a loss, or the possibility at least of a loss. They had lives, they had families, they had work. Follow you, go with you, watch with you. I mean, they already had a way of seeing the world. They already had things kind of framed out in a way that seemed good to them. And now it was as if this alien was asking them to climb aboard a spaceship and go off to some other universe. Institutions get nervous in times of scarcity. There, as you know, has been lots said about the decline of the main line. Anxiety among folks in all kinds of churches, but especially in those that have history, those who have tradition. And you've heard the surveys like I have. Surveys about adults. When adults go to church for the first time, they'll ask them, well, what brought you here? How did you end up going to church? And some of them say that, well, we just moved to town and we looked on the internet and we saw XYZ Presbyterian. Or sometimes they'll respond, and when asked the question, what brought you here? Some of them will say, well, I've just been through a loss and I figured it was time to go back to church. But what's the number one reason that people say they go, that they come? It's because they were invited by someone they knew. Say it with me. Come and see. Come and see. When it happened, I had lived in Everett for about 20 years. And through the course of those 20 years, I'd been made aware. I knew about Normanna. I knew about their Saturday breakfasts and, you know, the good old time that they had. I knew that I was welcome there. In fact, I knew because people told me as much. They told me it was a good thing and a good place. But it wasn't until Jerry Soley, asked me to come and see. That was, I don't know, a couple years ago. And he said, I'll wait out front for you. I'll be by the door, and I'm going to save a spot at my table for you. So I finally kind of caved in. I said, well, all right. And within about 20 minutes, I'd probably seen 20 people that I knew, and Jerry introduced me to 20 new ones. Come and see. Come and see. It was when somebody made room for me, set me down where they were. Come and see. Sit with me. Let's just see what happens. Words like witness, words like testimony, words like, ooh, the big one, evangelism. Those are the words that make us kind of nervous. I mean, we're Lutherans. I suppose we imagine that the task is about somehow talking or explaining. We hear these stories of witness and invitation. We know evangelism is important, but we imagine that it's all about having theological answers. Imagine that it's all about being persuasive and pious in our platitudes, that in order for us to witness or to testify means to have some irrefutable argument poised and ready. But that's not really how it works for Jesus in John's screenplay. In John's screenplay, Jesus is, well, he's teaching, yes. I mean, there are words that come, but where does it all start? Ready? Come and see. The good news is partly words. Indeed, it is. But it seems mostly to be about proximity, about coming close. Jesus is less interested in convincing us of stuff than getting us to stop being afraid and just start following along. Ready? Come and see. But Jesus, I just want answers and I just want certainty. Come and see. Well, Jesus, I don't know if I want to do that. I just want to be right about stuff. Jesus says, get over it. come and see, because it's not about information. It's not about orthodoxy or getting it right. It is instead about relationship, about experience, and about surprise. Maybe today is a little bit like hearing Jesus again for the very first time. How did it go? Come and see. Maybe you'll whisper that to your neighbor right now. Where's Jesus? Go ahead. Where's Jesus? Say it to another person. Where's Jesus? Come and see.